Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will surely not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." God said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel."
So Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 to 7. "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood, will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this."
So reading from Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her.
In Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.' When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb."
Our final reading is taken from Matthew's Gospel. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, Before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. 2020 has been a difficult year. For some of us, it's been a very difficult year. We've experienced the coronavirus pandemic and the resulting national lockdowns. Schools have been shut, shops have been closed, and many companies have gone out of business. People fear losing their jobs, they fear losing their liberty, and yes, they fear losing their lives too. Maybe you know someone who has died of COVID-19, maybe someone very close to you. 2020 has, for most of us, been a very difficult year. But hope is on the horizon. Vaccines have been developed, which we hope will be rolled out next year, and which we hope will bring this pandemic and all of its devastating consequences to an end. In the meantime, the authorities continue to urge us to stay safe. Hope of a cure and a message of staying safe in the midst of continuing danger. These, it seems to me at least, are two of the chief notes upon which we mark Christmas and bring this year to an end. And while in one sense everything has changed in 2020, in another sense nothing has changed. You see, the world of long ago, the world as it was before the birth of Jesus Christ, was also a world filled with hope. A world filled with hope of a cure. Only a cure not to coronavirus, but a cure to a far more serious disease. The disease of sin, the disease that lies beneath every other disease. Sin, as we saw in our first reading this evening, is rebellion against God. It's the refusal to obey God as your king by instead making yourself the king of your life. That's what sin in essence is. And that is what Adam and Eve did way back at the beginning of the history of this world. And that is what every human being has done ever since. We have all sinned. And that is why there is so much suffering, so much pain in this world. That is why there are viruses and diseases. That is why there is loneliness and heartbreak. That is why there is death. Because of sin. Sin is the most terrible disease. But wonderfully, it is a disease for which there is a cure. You see, God promised that he would send someone to save us from our sin. He promised that he would send a Saviour into the world. And this promise is what the people of old, especially the Jewish people, hoped for. We saw that in our second reading from the prophet Isaiah. The hope of a promised king who would come and who would rule the world in justice and in peace and who would save his people. And for many centuries, this hope of salvation, this hope of safety from the disease of sin, this hope sustained God's people for many, many centuries until one day an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream and said to him, "Joseph, the woman that you are engaged to, Mary, she is pregnant. The Holy Spirit has given her conception, and the child that she carries is God's promised Saviour. The one that for centuries the people have been hoping for is now about to come. And you, Joseph, you shall call his name Jesus. Why? For he will save his people from their sins." And then the child was born, and the child was wrapped in swaddling cloths, and he was laid in a manger. Such an ordinary beginning, so nondescript. But this was no ordinary, nondescript child. Marvel of marvels, this child was indeed God in the flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. God become man in order to save men and women from that most terrible of diseases, sin. And this is exactly what this child, Jesus, would grow up to do. He would grow up, he would live a life of perfect goodness and of perfect love. He would do no wrong. Beautifully innocent, beautifully holy, but then in his early 30s, he would be nailed to a cross and he would die. A seemingly tragic end to such a wonderful, promising life. Jesus' crucifixion in his early 30s seemed to dash any hope that he was God's cure for humanity's sickness. But in reality, Jesus' death was and still is the cure for our sickness. You see, the central message of the Bible, the good news as Christians call it, is that Jesus Christ willingly went to his death on the cross and did so for our sins. He took all of our sins to himself, our rebellion, our pride, our jealousy, our cruelty, our selfishness. The list could go on. He took all of our sins to himself and he suffered the penalty that was due to them so that we will never have to. I suppose it would be a little bit like someone today being injected with every particle, with every last drop of the coronavirus. Now, I know that that obviously couldn't happen. But just imagine if you could somehow collect together every single particle of coronavirus, and in order to get rid of it, you would need to inject someone with it, with all of it. That person would inevitably die, but so too would the virus, meaning that the rest of the world would be safe. Safe from ever being infected with the virus. Safe from dying from the virus. And all because one person had taken all of the virus to himself. That, my friends, is a picture, a very small picture of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Jesus Christ was, as it were, injected with the whole virus of sin, with all of it, all of it. And as a result, he died. But his death is our safety. It's our salvation. His death means that we can be safe, eternally safe, from the virus of sin. Jesus is the cure. Jesus is the cure for the most terrible disease that has ever afflicted this world. His name is Jesus because he saves us from our sins. 2020 has been a most difficult year. And I hope, as I imagine we all hope, that 2021 will be a lot better. I do hope that the vaccines will be effective and that we will all be saved from the coronavirus. But what I want to say to you all this evening is that the Christian gospel offers to you a far, far greater hope and a far, far greater salvation. And I want to say to you this evening that you can go into 2021 knowing that whatever happens with the vaccines and all the rest of it, whatever happens, you can know that Jesus is the Savior of sinners and that Jesus is the one who gives us true hope and true safety. And that leads me to finish by asking you one very simple question, which is this: do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Do you know him as the one who has saved you from your sins and who gives to you the hope of everlasting life? Do you know Jesus? I pray that this Christmas, as we seek to stay safe and as we look forward with hope to a better new year, I pray that you will, perhaps for the very first time, rest your soul in Jesus, who alone is the one who can save you from your sins. Amen.